Chapter 3, Arvind Eye Hospital, Making a Dent in Global Blindness.
Steve Jobs of Apple often speaks about making a dent in the universe. But what does it take to do so? To find out, you don't have to go to Cupertino, California. Just go to tiny Madurai in Tamil Nadu. There you will find a 32-year-old institution that is truly, in Jobs' words, denting the world. Arvind Eye Hospital is internationally recognized as an institution best suited to make not just a dent, but a Grand Canyon in the world of blindness. There are nearly 24 million blind in the world, and nearly one-third of them are unnecessarily blind, which means that they don't have to stay blind. A medical intervention can treat them. But the intervention in many cases requires surgery, and there just aren't enough doctors to go around. Instead of increasing the number of surgeons to cope with the problem of unnecessary blindness, Arvind decided to find ways to increase a surgeon's productivity. And it has perfected an assembly line technique of surgery that increases this productivity by a factor of 10. It has also developed such a cost-effective revenue model that thousands of blind poor can be operated on for free or nearly free. Revenues are generated from a small percentage of paying patients. What's remarkable about Arvind is that only 30% of its patients pay, and that they pay less than what they would pay elsewhere. The remaining 70% are treated free, or almost free. The remarkable becomes astounding when you realize that this is not a small mom-and-pop charity establishment. It's a full-fledged business that makes a 35% operating profit. All profits are plowed back into expansion, as Arvind is a not-for-profit institution, treats 2.4 million outpatients, and does 286,000 cataract surgeries every year. This makes it, by far, the largest ophthalmological institution in the world. It is also one of the most respected, with students from Harvard, Johns Hopkins, Yale, et al., coming to it for training and exposure. Arvind follows a unique business model. It takes its inspiration from STD booth owners and Xerox machine operators. Both these small businesses make money on numbers while serving the community's need for such services. The unit profit margin is low, but this is made up through enormous volumes. Arvind's business feeds on a virtuous cycle. The more surgeries Arvind does, the more effective it becomes. And the more effective it becomes, the more its reputation grows, bringing in more patients, paying or otherwise. How did a small town hospital in one of the quietest corners of India become such a global lighthouse? Beginning with a dream. It all began, as most world-denting projects do, with a dream: to eliminate unnecessary blindness in India. This was the dream of a frail, retired professor of ophthalmology at Madurai Medical College. This was not the dream of a government body or of a large, powerful organization. Somehow, these entities rarely seem to have dreams. They have targets and deliverables and strategies, but no dreams. Dr. Govindappa Venkataswamy, or Dr. V, as he is called, wanted to be a gynecologist after three of his cousins died in childbirth at a young age. But just as he was starting off his career, he fell ill and was bedridden for 2 years with crippling rheumatoid arthritis. Many thought he would never walk again, much less be a surgeon. But this remarkable man not only left his bed, he also slowly, inch by painful inch, taught himself surgery all over again. As Dr. V's fingers were crippled, the usual surgeon's instruments were of no use to him. He had to devise instruments specially for himself so that he could hold them. He realized he couldn't do the heavy surgical work required in gynecology. But rather than give up and sink into despair, he took up ophthalmology and went back to medical school. After graduating, he joined government service and then went into teaching. Treating unnecessary blindness became a passion with him. As a professor, he, along with his students and colleagues, pioneered rural eye camps in India. His team would go into villages around Madurai and operate on people who had lost their sight due to cataract. While engaged in this, Dr. V realized that he was doing more than just restoring sight. He was literally extending the lifespan of those he treated. In those days, a blind, elderly person was considered a mouth with no hands and was not looked after too well. As a result, life expectancy after blindness was only around 2 to 3 years, and cataract-induced blindness was literally a death sentence. With Dr. V's surgeries and the restoration of sight, these people went on to live productive lives for many more years. Most of us are limited not by adversity, but by accepting adversity as a permanent entity. Orbit shifters like Dr. V actively combat adversity and bend the situation to their will. They refuse to accept reality. Reality was that he'd never walk again. Reality was that he could never be a surgeon again because his fingers were twisted out of shape. But when a person refuses to accept reality, magic happens. And that's what happened with Dr. V. When Dr. V retired in 1976 at the age of 56, rather than seeing it as the end of his working life, he saw it as a beginning. He decided to set up a hospital to treat unnecessary blindness and asked his sister, Dr. Nachiar, and her husband, Dr. Naam, both ophthalmologists, to join him. They were then at Harvard and were not too keen to come back, says Dr. Nachiar. But Dr. V was very persuasive. He was also Dr. Nachiar's elder brother, had raised her after their father passed away, was her teacher in medical school, and someone both she and Dr. Naam respected enormously. Saying no wasn't easy. Also, the couple were concerned about Dr. V. What would he do after retirement? He was a man of strong will, very disciplined, very restless. How would he stay occupied? They decided to go along with Dr. V on the journey he was proposing, to build an alternate eye care model to the government's, one that supported the government yet was not dependent on it, and one that reached the common villager. It would be community-oriented, cost-effective, and world-class in quality. As Dr. Nachiar says, "We came back, but reluctantly. We thought then that we were making a great sacrifice." They decided to start in Madurai, where Dr. V had lived and worked for 15 years. Also, Madurai was an old town with many villages nearby, and they wanted to make a difference in rural India. And the aspiration was to eliminate unnecessary blindness in India. If there's one thing that differentiates radical innovators who put a dent in the universe vis-a-vis the rest of us, it's that they dream big. They dream on a scale that's simply beyond the comprehension of most others. And this scale leads them on to making a dent in the world. The sad part is that the ability to dream big is available to all of us. It's just that we choose not to use it. Following the dream. The trio needed funding to begin the dream project. People had been telling them that there would be many who would come forward for such a good cause. Indeed, they thought that it wouldn't be too difficult to raise the money. But they were mistaken. And they were embarrassed. Nobody helped, and potential lenders were not willing to give them even a hearing. The last straw came when a bank clerk told Dr. V, "You are already retired. Why do you want to burden the young people who work with you, as they would be responsible for paying back the loan if anything happened to you?" They decided then that they would never ask anyone for a loan again. They began with an 11-bed hospital in the house of Dr. V and Dr. Nachiyar's brother, G. Srinivasan, after mortgaging jewelry to buy equipment. The initial years were hard. As Dr. Nachiyar says, "We had problems raising the money and felt we had made a mistake in coming back. Compared to the US, where we had a car, a house, and an easier life, here we had nothing and worked 18 hours a day. Each case was important. The paid ones netted them between rupees 2,000 and 3,000 rupees, and they needed this money to sustain their eye camps.